You're listening to the Creepcast on DownrightCreepy.com. Here's your creepy host.
Hello and welcome to the Creepcast. On today's show, we're going to discuss The Night House. And we have an interview with the star of The Night House, Rebecca Hall. This film was directed by David Bruckner, which you may remember from The Ritual, which was a fantastic film, Southbound, and then he also had a VHS segment in the VHS franchise. From Rebecca, you're going to remember her probably most recently from Godzilla vs. Kong, and now she's in this interesting kind of like psychological thriller, doppelganger type of scenario with The Night House. And if you're familiar with Bruckner's work, this is going to be a real treat. So let's jump right into the interview with Rebecca Hall of The Night House.
Do you guys believe in ghosts?
I think there's something in my house.
My husband took the boat out on the lake. He took a handgun that I didn't even know that we owned, and...
Did he leave a note?
He did.
You were right. There is nothing. Nothing is after you. You're safe now.
You said you were safe? Safe from what?
Hey, Rebecca, thanks for joining us here on the Creepcast. How are you doing today?
Hello, I'm very good. Thank you.
Excellent. So, man, this film, I think with most films, it's best to probably just go in cold and you'll enjoy them even more. And I feel like this is definitely one of those films where there's a short synopsis. I would maybe even avoid the trailer because it does give away a lot. But man, if you go into this and you're familiar with David Bruckner's work and then the performance that you layer on top of it, it's great. So let's talk about that performance for a second. Did you have any influences to maybe bring your performance to life and your character to life? Because it is a unique role that you're playing here, especially because it's, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's someone who's spiraling kind of out of control, in a sense, and coming to grips with reality. So was there anything that you might have watched, you know, as a horror fan, or influences that helped bring the character to life, or like little nuances?
I mean, I don't know that I had any specific influences for the character per se, but I'm certainly, you know, influenced and inspired, I guess, by certain movies in the genre that I love. There's a film called The Changeling from the 70s that it's a man is the central character who's haunted, but I rewatched that. I also revisited some sort of general favorites like the 30s version of Cat People, which has nothing to do with anything, but it was fun to watch. Also The Haunting, a 60s film by Robert Wise, which I think is great. And you know, then there's The Shining and Rosemary's Baby and all those classics. The sort of theme of a central character spiraling and losing their mind is quite a sort of prevalent theme in horror genre. And I suppose I revisited the ones that I liked in that kind of arena.
That's certainly a classic list of films if you're going to kind of get some inspiration from. So that's very cool to hear. Now, with a role like this, it feels very unique. It's, I'm going to guess, unlike anything you've done before. So what drew you to take on this type of role for this film?
There was a sort of, scale of many, there were many reasons, many challenges and many factors about this one. I suppose I was intrigued and, you know, perhaps naively seduced about the idea of doing a film that was basically me, turned out to be an awful lot to shoulder, but I enjoyed it enormously. And I think that challenge was intriguing when I read it. And I also really liked the character. I mean, the turning point for me when I was reading the script was the scene sort of towards the beginning before you really know what's going on with her. And there's so much mystery around her. And then there's that scene in the classroom with the parent where she, you know, which is essentially an exposition scene, but I thought it revealed so much about the character because it was so brittle and sort of weirdly funny. And I really liked the toughness and the sort of strangeness about her. And I liked her from that scene onwards. I think from that scene onwards is the moment I was like, yeah, I want
to
do that.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, it seems like a really challenging and interesting role to take on as an actress. So I have an interesting question. I want to know, kind of dealing with the subject matter of the film a little bit, but do you think houses can retain memories in some sort of way, like spiritually, paranormal sense, or in this case, almost like an alternate universe? And have you ever experienced anything paranormal in a house?
You know, I haven't. I've been asked this a lot and I feel terribly boring that I don't have any good anecdotes. I have been in a lot of old houses in my time and I have certainly, you know, been in places where I have been told that there were ghosts. I haven't actually experienced anything myself. The closest I got, I was shooting something in upstate New York. And actually, no, it was Massachusetts. And I was staying in an incredibly old hotel. And I've been told that it was haunted from Civil War era things. And I woke up one morning to a lot of oldie-timey marching and horns. And immediately thought, this is it, this is the ghost. And then I looked out my window and there was just a huge Civil War reenactment going on. But that's probably the closest I've ever got.
I mean, that certainly still feels pretty creepy, right? Like, if you know paranormal stuff maybe had taken place in the house or had been known to, and then you hear something like that or wake up to it, I mean, that's still pretty creepy. So, interesting nonetheless. To piggyback on that question, in the film, Beth is asked by her colleagues, like, do you believe in ghosts or supernatural spirits? So my question to you is kind of a follow-up to that. You may not have experienced it per se, but do you at least believe of the possibility of ghosts or supernatural spirits?
I don't know. I'm a bit of an empiricist. So until I have hard evidence in front of me, I tend not to believe or believe one way or another. So I don't know.
I feel like that's more than a fair answer. I kind of feel the same way. Like, I've had some weird things happen to me, weird experiences, like two or three times. Nothing where I could point at it and be like, I think for certain this is a ghost, or I've seen something that I think is a ghost. So I feel like we're in the same boat, but I do want to believe that they exist. What's one of the scariest places that you've ever visited or been to?
I'm just trying to think. I've been to a lot of spooky places. You know, it's not, it wasn't spooky, but it was filled with a lot of history, which is the ancient Greek theater of Epidavros. I was doing a play there. I went there a bunch. My father directed plays there when I was a kid, so I used to go there a lot, and it seats sort of 1,500 people. And it's been around obviously since forever. And I was doing a production of Winter's Tale there, and Simon Russell Beale during it makes a speech where he references the Oracle down the road. And we were all on stage doing this scene, and he started talking about the Oracle, which as we were standing, it was literally historically down the road. And it felt like the whole temperature of the area changed, and it had been completely still, and suddenly there was a huge rush of wind. And I remember that we were all very spooked, but in a sort of excited way, in a kind of wonderful way. That's probably the most enervating sort of environment I've been in.
All right, let's get back to talking about the film here for a little bit. David Bruckner, director of this, he did a great film called The Ritual that I absolutely adored. Horror fans probably know him from Southbound and VHS, as I mentioned in the intro there. But What was it like to work with David on set and just bringing the story to life through his vision?
I really had a really great time with him. It's very rare, I think, that you work with a director who is so consistent about the genre that they want to work in, you know, in a funny way. I mean, he's very specific. Like, this is his thing. He does horror, and he understands it, and he knows how to manipulate and plot and lay all the foundations to create the jump scares and do all the things that you need. And he's also incredibly smart and emotionally intuitive. So, you know, the blend of those two things, I think, is really exciting and shows in his work. I'd seen The Ritual, which was the film that he did previous to this one. And I like horror movies on the whole. And I was absolutely flabbergasted by how scary that film was. Flabbergasted. So, you know, I think he's a real talent, and I loved working with him.
Yes, he nails his stories, I think, so well. So it's good to hear that you had a good experience with him. I can't wait to see what else he can do here. Let's talk about a scene in particular in the bathroom. I don't want to describe the scene or give it away too much, but for those that will be watching the film, I'd like to know, how was it like to film that bathroom scene? I think we know what you're talking about here, so let's get your thoughts on that. I'd love to hear it.
You know, the honest answer is that it was kind of funny. You know, this was, we were doing a lot of things on the fly and getting shots, and it was, you know, it was a quick shoot and all the sort of tough things about independent filmmaking. And when it came to doing that scene, there wasn't, I mean, we talked about what the idea was, but it wasn't like there was someone sort of choreographing it. So as we got into it further, there were stunts and all these sorts of very practical, detailed work. But the initial sort of idea of me having this interaction / sort of, you know, romantic encounter with an invisible presence was essentially just me improvising it, which was, you know, fairly embarrassing. I mean, I wasn't embarrassed because I realized pretty quickly that I was going to look silly, and I just sort of accepted that and knew that everyone would laugh at me, and just got on with it. But it was, you know, after a while, it became sort of strangely liberating. It felt like sort of doing a kind of, I don't know, intuitive dance or something, which was nothing like anything I've ever done before as an actor. And it was nice to sort of use your physicality in that respect.
It's interesting that you had kind of an improv piece of that, but I mean, I guess it makes sense, like, when you stop and think about it. But another question about, like, performance-based things. So I feel like, much like Elizabeth Moss and The Invisible Man had to act with someone not there, even though we know there's someone kind of there in green screen, for the most part of the film, it is you kind of acting to an invisible counterpart, right? So how was it like to take on a role like this and have to perform in such a way?
I knew it was going to be challenging going into it. You know, I thought, well, I've never done this before. I'll give this a go. I don't think I even guessed appropriately how challenging it would be. You know, there's a sort of strange thing you don't entirely realize as an actor, is that, you know, you derive an awful lot of energy and stamina and even creative ideas from the people that you're working with. It's a bit like, you know, if you're at a party and someone comes in who's got a lot of charisma, and suddenly the party gets really great. You know, you're also bouncing off that energy. This was a bit like being at a party with no guests, but you still have to make the party good, which was just exhausting.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that must be like psychologically too, to be able to amp yourself up like that and not have the performance to bounce off of, you know, the give and take of two actors in a scene. So that's really interesting insight to have on that. But I don't want to discredit other people's performances in this, because you did have some really great scenes with Sarah Goldberg and Vondi Curtis Hall. So What was it like to step away from kind of the invisible acting, if you will, into scenes with them? And how did that shift your mindset as an actress with them in scenes?
Oh, it was such a relief. I was so excited every time I got to do scenes with them. I mean, I think Sarah Goldberg and Vondi Kessel, they're so good, you know, and I have so much respect for them. And I thought that the relationship between my character and Sarah's character was really refreshing, honestly. It's sort of rare in a genre movie or horror movie that you see a pretty good depiction of female friendship, and also just the sort of fact that there is this sort of underlying theme of people trying to help Beth. I thought was interesting, and Sarah, you know, I love her work, so it was just really fun when we got to do those scenes. There was a lot of meat to get into.
Now, we talked about the role itself and some of the challenges that came with it, but and why you kind of took on the role. But when you first read that script and got through it, like, what were your first impressions of the project? And, like, at the core, what was the character to you to help tell this story?
My thoughts when I first read the script were this is scary. This is scary. And also, this is fun. You know, I think there were some aspects of the script that I thought were very intelligent and sensitive in regards a depiction of a woman dealing with grief and trying to rationalize, come to terms with a catastrophic event that's happened 4 days before the movie starts. But within that sensitivity and credible depiction of something very real and very serious, there was also, I also felt the opportunity for a truly cinematic, fun experience, you know, something that people could go to together and scream and giggle about the fact that they're screaming and go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, which I think is as valid as all the serious stuff. And I loved the combination of the two.
That's great. I think whenever you can combine the horror, like scare factor, with some lightheartedness and, you know, slight comedy in there, it helps break the tension and then build it back up and break it and build it back up. So I think it's a perfect balance of that. When it works well. And when it's forced, you can really tell. And I think it works well in this. So especially someone that's dealing with grief like that. So yeah, that makes total sense. Now, you got some genre stuff under your belt, quite a few things under your belt at this point. Is there something about the horror genre that you love to do as an actress? Is there something that maybe, you know, lends itself to your skills and ability, or just the storytelling aspect? Like, what is it about the genre that maybe you enjoy?
You know, it's a funny thing. I'm not sort of, you know, I didn't sort of embark on my career thinking I'm going to do lots of genre. But as it turns out, there's often more extreme parts in genre, in horror. And I'm kind of a sucker for signing up for something that's going to really use me, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to put me through it. Don't ask me why, I've got no idea, but I am. And, you know, often there's just more to do in these sorts of films as an actor that feels sort of scary in regards of what your capabilities are, and you don't know if you're going to be able to pull it off. And I like going into something with that feeling. So I sort of end up picking them, I think, because of that. And also, you know, on another note, I think that there is huge opportunity for genre to tackle not genre subjects, like grief, like death, like these sort of large existential questions of life that can sometimes be, you know, things that we find difficult to talk about as people, sometimes can be more fruitfully addressed if they are dealt with indirectly. You know, there's the veil of genre over them means that you're sort of dealing with it not head on. And that can sometimes be more rewarding than a drama that deals with them straight on.
Yeah, I think there is something maybe to genre films that you can leave something maybe open-ended even, right? And get away with it more so than in other films or other types of films. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, of course you could do it in any of them probably effectively, but horror almost leaves it open-ended to like sequels. Not that there's going to be a sequel, but yeah, I think you're right in that sense. So the house that you filmed this in is pretty spectacular. Is there, like, how was it to film in this house, and how much of it was a set or a soundstage somewhere versus the actual house on location?
Yes, the house was a real house. I think it was quite surprising for everyone because initially there was a lot of chat about, well, we're probably going to have to build it, it's going to be complicated, and how would we find something like this that's on a lake and has all these things? And they did find it right on the front of the water with a large picture window. So we shot the majority of it in that house. But then from there, the production, the design team, an extraordinary job of creating a sort of normal looking interior and then recreating it on a soundstage. And I suppose as an actor, I'd spent so much time by the point we've got into the soundstage inside the regular house, but similar to the audience experience, I was very thrown seeing something that was familiar and yet different. And I knew went onto the soundstage, I knew that it was going to work production design wise.
Yeah, it's like a character all in itself almost. You are a woman that's dealing with grief and emotion in this, and we talked earlier about how you got kind of almost some humor layered in there, but how was it to get in the headspace of that grief and emotion as an actress for you personally?
It's a very tricky question, Matt. That's one of those questions that's a bit like, you don't really want to know how the sausage gets made. I suppose acting is odd, and you know, if the material's well written and if you believe it when you're reading it, then I know that I'll believe it when I'm acting it. And it honestly just becomes a question of believing what's happening to me is happening to me and letting my emotions happen. I tried not to prepare all that much for this one because I wanted to be quite instinctive and surprise myself in a strange way. And it ended up producing the best results. You know, if I just sort of did, I thought about Beth, thought about where she is at the beginning of any given scene, and then just let myself react and see what happened. You know, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, but that's the joy of movie making.
Right, right. And you take chances. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But that's kind of the beauty of it. And we brought up, you know, the kind of gravity of grief and sorrow that the character does deal with. But I've asked people before that are acting on horror films or just things that are heavy at times, what is it like when the camera stops for a second, right? And you've been in a dark place. Is there times with your castmates and crew to have moments of levity and kind of release? Like, what is it like when the camera stops when you're in these dark moments?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, in my experience, sometimes, not always, but sometimes when the material is particularly dark, you have to have a break. You have to have a catharsis and a kind of release. Otherwise, you go crazy. I, for one, was very conscious of being the only thing the crew got to look at for the most of the time. And I was like, if I'm gonna wander around here being very po-faced and miserable, everyone's gonna have a terrible time. So, you know, there was actually much more jollity and laughter on this set than some more comedic things than I have done. You know, I was also very willing to get laughed at when I was making out with a ghost, which everyone found very funny.
I can imagine that to be the case. I feel like it's like some of those skits where from Ghost with like Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg. And I feel like that scene has been made fun of for a long time. And I feel like the intimate scene with a ghost is kind of the same sense. Is there any tactic though that you use to kind of come down from the seriousness of the role, like at the end of the day? Like, are there anything that kind of things that you do on a regular basis to kind of bring you back to to center yourself?
I try to let go of it as quickly as possible. It's healthier for me to leave work at the door once the makeup's off. Sometimes that's, you know, easier said than done. This one, it was all right. I'm not sure that I had any tactics. You know, going home and seeing my daughter was my tactic, because she didn't give me any room to be indulgent and miserable.
Completely understand that. You have to snap back to reality pretty quick when you have the kiddos. So now I want to talk about, you kind of started to wear multiple hats recently with producing credits and directorial debut with Passing. Is that something that you want to do more of, you know, direct, produce? And was there anything you learned from your experience on Passing that maybe you'll take forward in your career and apply to future roles or directing?
Oh, I mean, what didn't I learn? I mean, it's sort of, you can't measure the amount that you learn just by doing something. You know, I learned a huge amount about directing from watching my father, even when I was a kid, handle direct actors and in a rehearsal room. And then I understood an awful lot about movie directors from spending my entire life and career on movie sets and watching them and thinking about it. And I always wanted to direct. So I think I took lessons from all of those things, but none of that compares to actually doing it. I couldn't even begin to tell you what I learned. And it's just experience, isn't it? You take everything on to the next thing.
I think staying a little bit in that vein, I mean, you've worked on Godzilla versus Kong and then something like The Night House, which have completely different, you know, approaches to the way it's being filmed and the production and the obviously the budget. So what is it like going from a large scale thing like that to something that's more driven in independent filmmaking with The Night House? But yeah, can you kind of maybe talk about the two experiences?
Oh, there's definitely things about each one that I appreciate. You know, on a small independent film, you're always hustled for time. You're always being pushed around. It's always incredibly stressful. You never have time to breathe or sit down or relax or any of those things. And if you did just that, you'd go crazy. But I do think that there is a sort of camaraderie and I guess sort of team spirit that happens on those films that can often yield very creative results. You know, and on the big ones, it's lovely to constantly be asked if I need a cup of tea and a blanket, basically. But you can also feel slightly, you know, how can I help? What can I do to do more on this? So I think, you know, but I appreciate that the scale of those ones, the resources are appropriate. You know, it's really difficult to make films on tiny budgets in 20 days or something. And I feel bad for filmmakers, because the fact that it has happened doesn't mean it should continue to happen. There should be a little bit more room for creativity. And, you know, sometimes on the big ones, there's too much room and there's sort of wasted resources. So I don't know. I think it's like a combination of the two somehow is often where you, the sweet spot.
And with the, you know, smaller, more independent film versus a big budget film, I think there's probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, like more room for creative inspiration, maybe with your character, right? Like you mentioned earlier, there was some improvisation in the bathroom scene, for instance. And was there anything you could carry out, not from an inspirational standpoint, but just from a influence on your character? Was David open to it? Were writers open to letting you have any inspirational kind of creative control over that to help backstory or push something to the forefront for the character?
Yeah, I did actually. I mean, I did. I didn't get right up in there and, you know, start asking to rewrite things. But I had ideas when I first read the script, and there were things that I wanted to amplify. I was keen to try and to push her sort of her strength and her kind of dark sense of humor almost. I thought that felt very true to life. It felt, you know, I didn't feel like she had to be constantly sort of crying and sad. I felt like it was better that she was angry at this point in this moment of grief. And I definitely pushed for that. And there were certain other aspects narrative aspects about the ending that I put in some two pennies worth. But you know, but that's kind of true of most projects, I think.
True. I mentioned a little bit earlier when I brought up Elizabeth Moss, The Invisible Man, about how you had to act against nothing that was there. Did it feel like this was kind of a throwback to Universal monster lore or Hammer horror? Like, did it feel like it had a twinge of throwback to you?
Yes, it did, actually. It did. That's a good question. It really did. It reminded me of, yeah, I really like horror films, but I'm not crazy about the ones that have a lot of violence in. I've always enjoyed like a haunted house movie and the more sort of classical, old-fashioned ones that are really sort of molded around suspense and sort of invisible psychological scares. And I thought this did hark back to those sorts of films, but also had a lot of very refreshing modern twists and spins. It works. I was scared when I watched it in the cinema. It was maybe the last film that I saw in the cinema before COVID. And I will honestly never forget the experience of being in there watching it with everybody, because even the things that I knew were coming, I still jumped. And everyone was screaming so much, and it was just really thrilling.
I think it's interesting to hear you say that, because with so much stuff going to streaming apps, and especially during COVID, you know, when we couldn't go to theaters, I think we might have at times forgotten that kind of visceral experience that takes place in a group setting and kind of how special that feels to experience a movie like this, for instance, in a group setting versus at home with the lights out. You know, it works both ways, but boy, that communal experience that you get, I think, at the theater is fantastic. So I'm kind of glad you brought that up. And I think that's a perfect place to end our conversation today, because everyone can go check out The Night House in theaters August 20th from Searchlight Pictures. Rebecca, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us here on Downright Creepy today, and continued success with everything you do. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to a Downright Creepy original on the Crickets Podcast Network.